Thank you. I think it's almost become a tradition that I seem to get the first exhortation of the year. I meant to look in the programme or previous programmes and see how many I've done. So I thought this time I'd do something slightly different. And rather than look at the theme from the readings or looking ahead to the new year, I thought for this one I'd look back at the last fortnight. Because we're coming to the end of the Christmas period, and for some of us it's back to work on Monday. So this, I suppose, is the last day of the Christmas holidays, the New Year break that we've been having. And it's kind of a bit of a tradition for most of the Western Hemisphere, if not most of the world, to have this as a time of happiness, of joyfulness. And I think the world in some ways might take it a little bit too far in terms of indulgence and frivolity. But I'm kind of going to look at that as our theme. Because, I mean, normally, come Christmas, a lot of people would tend to play games, would tend to mess around a little bit. And it's kind of a bit of a tradition to have some games on Christmas. And we tend to have the odd board game. And I think the kids are getting to the stage now where it's not exactly their cup of tea. So board games are kind of a little bit, I don't know, to them probably old-fashioned. To them it's more something that they'd rather be on the computer, or they'd rather be emailing or texting their friends. And I thought, well, if we're going to be looking at games, then I don't really think a game of tag in this room is kind of going to be appropriate for most of us. And I'll cry out on that one for me bad knee anyway. So I thought, well, maybe look at word games. But first off, why am I looking at games in the first place? Well, two reasons. One, when I was working in environmental education, we found games were a useful learning tool for dealing with certainly the younger children. And we try and get them to play a game which had a message behind it. So we'd be talking about things like predators and prey and how animals actually feed, and some of them would be the prey and some of them would be the actual predators. And they would find out that the same thing that they were doing in the game was actually the same way that creatures would look for food. And at the end of the game, we try and explain this to them, that the predators have to be very focused on what they're going for. They have to be kind of intent, but they also have to have speed or stealth, or there has to be some way in which they can catch their prey. Now, the prey, on the other hand, they have to feed themselves. Most of the ones we looked at, they tended to be things which eat seeds or plants. But at the same time, they have to be on the lookout for predators trying to catch them. So the people who were the prey had to be finding what they needed, but at the same time watching out. And we'd use this as one of the games. And we had quite a big list of games that we'd actually play with these kids. And like I said, we'd try and get a message through. So I thought for today, we might actually do a bit of a word game. And the type of word game I want to look at is called a hononym. And does anyone here know what a hononym is? I look at Sarah here. I probably said it wrong. A homonym, I can't even say it now, is a word which sounds the same but can have multiple meanings. Now, one of the reasons why I wanted to look at this is I remember on my grandma's wall, she had this plaque. And as you came in through my grandma's house when she lived in Kibblesworth, You came in through the front door, the kitchen was on the right, living room was on the left, and in front of you she had this plaque, and it said, 7 prayerless days makes 1 week. And week was spelled W-E-A-K, not W-A-E, as you might expect, W-E-E-K. That is a homonym. It's a word which, when said, can have multiple meanings. So I thought we'd have a look at just a few of them from today's readings. But before I do that, I want to have a look at the last hymn that we sung, because when it got to the last line, I kind of almost misread this one. But what I said, what I was thinking, sounds the same to what it says in words. I'll read the whole of the last verse. Speed on, O God, the hour when, free from sin, we'll rise, the sons of power glorious within, and with the Christ confessed, blessing and ever blessed, rule o'er the earth at rest in thee. Amen. And then I look down and I said, oh no, it actually says in thee, amen. And I mentally actually made that a thee as in T-H-E-E. And amen as we'd end a prayer. And I thought, well, that kind of sums up roughly what I want to say. That there's things which we can look at, things which we can hear, and we can pick multiple meanings. Now, you probably know that the vast majority of the Old Testament, certainly the law, originally was spoken. And it wasn't written down. It was actually spoken in the synagogues, because very few people can read. They would learn it off by heart. So it was something which was listened to rather than read. Now, I'm pretty sure that when the Bible was translated into English, that what we have on the pages now are what God wanted us to get from it. But for the sake of today, the last day of the holidays, I just want to look at some of the homonyms that we've got. Because there's a really nice one in Matthew chapter 5. I'm just going to start at verse 44. But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and the unjust. Now there's a really obvious one there, because if you were listening and rather than reading, we've had two meanings of the word sun. We have sun as in sunshine, and we have son of the Father. So there's the first one. And when we look at Jesus, we can easily apply both meanings to this one phonetic word, because Jesus is our light. He is the light that came into the world. He's also the light that gives life. Because without the sun, the world that we have, the world that we know, would be dead. It would be too cold. The plants would have nothing to produce food for. Everything would die out. So Jesus is that important. He is as important as the sun. And you can take either meaning of the word sun, because Jesus is the Son of God. And in the same way that Jesus, that the sun is important to us, so Jesus is as important to us. Because without Jesus, we would be dead. We would be cold. We would not have life. The other one we've got there is, we've probably got quite a few, but the other one that stuck out to me was rain. And I suppose in the last month, the word rain has kind of been foremost in quite a lot of our heads. Certainly up the top of the Dale, we haven't had a fair bit, and there's been some spectacular floods. And then when you look over the hill into Cumbria, they've had it even worse. So we have rain, and tomorrow when we look at Genesis, we'll be talking about even more rain. A flood of rain, a flood which covered the whole of the earth. But rain is another important word, because it's something that we are looking forward to, but not spelt that way. You need to add a G into it, because we are looking at the reign of Christ. We are looking at Christ's rule upon this earth. And it doesn't take much to look at all the problems in the world, to look at things that are going wrong, things that man seem powerless to overcome. And yet we know that Jesus Christ will come to reign and to fix these problems. In the reading in Psalms, I think there was three or four in there as well. But rather than jump back into the Old Testament, I want to move forward a little bit, because I want to concentrate more on why we've come here, which is to partake of the bread and the wine. Now, one that was in the Old Testament was a reference to bear. And I think in this case, it actually meant the four-legged kind of bear, but there's another type of bear. So not only do we have, for example, in the Old Testament, David killing the bear and the lion, we need to look at bear. Now, if we look at bear from the point of Jesus, he bore our iniquities. He bore the cross. And he bore all this for us. So Jesus, we can see Jesus even in that he was there for us. That he came to give us these emblems because of what he actually did. Because he bore our iniquities. He washed away our sins. We even come to the emblems before us now. The bread and the wine. Because bread without the A implies family and parentage. In Matthew chapter 1, we have the genealogy of Jesus Christ up to Joseph. Is it Mark that has the genealogy of Mary, the parentage? They were bred for a special purpose, to bring forth the Son of God. So we need to remember the parentage, but also our parentage, because of Jesus Christ, we can now call God our Father. We are part of the family of God. So we've also got before us the wine. The other meaning, a cry of pain, of anguish. And it doesn't take much to associate that with our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Because the pain that he must have borne, and he bore that for us. But in some ways it doesn't apply, because he didn't open his mouth. He was silent before those who came to him, who did them horrible deeds to him. But we have these symbols. We can see in these symbols our association with God, the parentage, how God is our Father. We can see the pain, the agony, and the suffering that Jesus went through. But we can also see the body of Jesus broken for us. we can see the blood of Jesus, which was poured out as a forgiveness, as to, in order to forgive our sins. So we come now to start what in the Gregorian calendar is a new year. It's not a new year for the Jewish calendar just yet. I think that's February. But for us, in the Western world, the beginning of a new year, a time to go back to work, a time to look to what we can do in this year, to how we can work for Jesus, how we can work for God, how we can look forward towards that kingdom. And we have these symbols before us now of what Jesus did for us, of what he, of how he died for us. But we can even look beyond that. We can look beyond his death to that glorious resurrection. And the time when he will reign upon this earth. And in some ways it will be a flood. It will be a flood which will cover the whole earth, because he will be king of the whole earth. And we look forward to this day.